With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
This is the Men's Room.
Get it, man, and get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Dixville. Dixville. The Crippers, the Grasshoppers, the Hit Ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We're saying hola and welcome in, listeners, now. Great radio stations like Portland's Classic Rock, 92.3 KGON, also WAAF, Boston's legendary rock station, and hola to our flagship here in Seattle, 99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. Big show for you today, as it is our random question. And the question that we asked before we got to the break there was, when did your parents share too much information? We didn't get a response from Roger because he hung up.
That is correct.
Yeah. Did you guys ever have a situation where your parents were just, gave you a little too much? You're like, I don't need to hear that.
All the time.
Really?
Yeah. You know the stories about my father?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was one that's the most memorable?
I can't even remember one that sticks out. There's just so many times where he says something, you're just like, that is highly inappropriate.
Okay.
Under the circumstances.
Yeah.
Because people can hear you, you know, stuff like that.
People can hear you, and like, they're just not the time for that joke or that reference.
Now, my parents have never been too bad. One of my dad's best friends, he'll give you all the information you could ever want.
About anything.
No, not about anything. It's only like one of two things. And going back through his younger days, I was slaying it back in the day. And it's like, that's fine. Like, that's fine.
How's he doing now?
I get it. Older dude, his wife's hot as, I mean, just, it's ridiculous. Like, he's the guy that ends up with a hot chick. It's just how it is. And I know this about his past, but he starts giving you the additional details, you know. And I'm telling you, man, you never lived till you've been with a woman with three fingers. And they're like, oh, dude, come on, man. Come on. Yeah.
Reason we asked, when did your parents maybe share a little too much information with you? Matthew McConaughey, his 88-year-old mother, Kay, and Hugh Grant, they're both in a movie now. So I've been hanging out for a little bit. He's got a 91-year-old father, James, and both of them are widowed, but maybe not for long, because, believe it or not, Matthew McConaughey and Hugh Grant are setting up their parents with each other to go out on a date. Matthew says, quote, yeah, why not? Next week, as a matter of fact, they're supposed to meet, and we probably won't see them for the rest of the night. If Matt sounds like he's sharing a little too much about his mom, that might be part of the fact of the kind of openness he grew up with. Apparently, his father, Jim McConaughey, died in 1992, and his mom, Kay, was never shy about telling the story about how Matthew McConaughey's father passed along. Do we all know the story?
I do not know.
No. Really? Never heard this?
I've never heard this, no.
She said, quote, on Monday mornings, he and I often said goodbye by making sweet love. But one day, all of a sudden, it just happened. And I knew in the middle of it that something was wrong because I didn't hear anything from him. Just nothing. But it was the best way to go. She even made the paramedics carry him out of the house naked. Because, quote, I was just so proud to show off my big old Jim McConaughey and his gift.
He died having sex with his mom.
He died having sex with his mom on a Monday morning. When the paramedics showed up to take his body out, Kay, his wife, said, please, take him out naked so everyone can, quote, be proud to see my old big Jim McConaughey and his gift.
See, everyone else says, your father died of a heart attack. Oh, no.
He did die of a heart attack.
That explains a lot about Matthew McConaughey and the way he talks and acts.
It does. And you go like, all right, I get it. He's not alone. A couple people chime in to say, too much information came from my dad. He announced that he had herpes. Definitely something I could have gone my entire life without ever knowing.
Dad's got herpes.
Let's see. This one. Oh, my God. This one.
Who's that from, by the way?
They did not leave their name.
Okay.
This one says, my dad told me that in college, his nickname was C-Horror. It stood for Cherry Ripper.
Jesus Christ.
Says, I did not need to know that. ever.
Oh, my God.
Your parents were young, too.
I know.
That's one thing you have to remember.
But you don't share
it. If you're young, your parents, they were just like you. They're probably worse than you are.
But here's the thing, man. You just don't share. Like, look, I'm sharing on this show, but I'm not going to walk into my can and be like, I need you to vacuum a room. By the way, I once tried to use a vacuum on my own penis for sexual stimulation. Clean up. Like, you don't need to know.
Oh, my daughter was bitching
about. Would you tell your daughter your nickname if your nickname was Cherry Ripper?
No.
I mean.
But it's hard sometimes.
That's what
like,
I mean.
I put the tongue brakes on the other day. She flew out today, so F it. I'll tell the story, all right? So
I'm sorry. I
put the tongue brakes on, but I didn't tell her. You know, she was like, you know, I couldn't believe it. I had a long night before she was supposed to fly back home.
Yeah.
They partied it up on their last night with their friends before all their friends back home for the holidays. And she was a little hungover and almost missed her flight, right? She's 18 years old, 19 years old, right? Not the biggest deal in the world. She's like, I felt so ridiculous. I was rushing.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I'm thinking to myself, when I was your age, I missed a flight because I was on a coke bender. But I didn't say that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's what I mean.
I was like, don't worry about it. That's crap happens.
That's too much information. Hey, it's happened to me too. And then you stop.
And you know when to put the tongue brakes on.
Yeah, I have a nickname of college.
You're not irresponsible.
Yeah.
You know.
So, don't need all the details.
You will be, but not right now.
Random. Hello. Random. Craig, welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
All right, Craig, welcome to the program.
What's that, brother?
How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
Well, cool. Thank you for calling the program and the random question. All right, let's see if you can come up with this. We've talked about a lot of things in this in the studio that we can't stand. One of the ones that just still pisses me off when I think about it is going to see the Nutcracker and how much I hated it.
You knew it was going to suck before you went there, right?
I didn't think it was going to be as bad as it's going to be. We've talked
you
about
prepared
all, the,
for
all the children's weird things we've been to. But what would you say is the lamest performance type thing that you've been to? Could be concert, could be movie, could be an event. What was the lamest thing that you have been to where you're sitting there like, I can't believe I'm here?
That's tough, man, because, you know, Disney on Ice is lame, but not for lack of effort, right?
Oh, a couple of years ago, actually, I went to that the Marvel Universe Live thing or whatever show that was. I thought it was going to be like something close to the actual, like, what Marvel does with the movies and whatnot, and it was completely just like this lame, meant for like 8-year-old motocross
thing going on. I went to that too, but my kid was like 3, so it was perfect.
Did you enjoy yourself?
Absolutely.
No, I did not enjoy myself. I did not go there to enjoy myself. I went there because I had a kid who I knew would like it, and he did. And look, if you're a parent, you know, if your kid's that happy, it makes it worthwhile. I don't want to ever sit through it again. Man, it's funny you bring that up. My kid brought that up to me maybe 2 weeks ago. It's been like 5 years, right? About that long since that thing was here. My kid still brings it up, and I know for a fact, he doesn't get it, but I'm like, I know for a fact this is just a nostalgic memory. Mm-hmm. If I took him to it now, he'd be like, this is stupid. It was stupid then. He was just young enough to appreciate it.
Yeah, there's certain bands and certain sports I've been to, and I'm like, ah, I don't get it.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't want to say the sport is, I don't want to S on it, and I know a lot of people really like them, like the sport, and it's cool, but every time I went to see it, I was like,
Come on, what's the sport? It doesn't matter. I mean, look, certain things are lame. Like, I will see a band I like, and they have a bad show. That's lame. When I go to Disney on Ice or something, I know what this is.
Have you guys ever been to anything so lame it was awesome?
No. Not in a live performance. Where
not a live performance.
Come on, what's the sport?
Movies. Okay. I will say this. Like, when I first moved here, I went to see a show with somebody, and they were like, oh, we'll go see this band. It'll be awesome. And I know a lot of people like this band, but I think they're called Band of Horses.
All right.
And I went to see him, and I stood there, and I went, this is where white people my age come. Dang. Like, it was just so awkward to me. And I'd only been out here a couple years.
This is where white people my age
I had
age
never
come
heard of this band, and I was just like you know me. I'm sitting there looking around in my head. I'm like, hey, isn't that not one black person? There's an entire room. Yeah.
Every year with my daughter used to take a music and vocal lessons. And they would have a recital at this old folks home. And they did it for Christmas and the holidays. And they would all go and sing Christmas carols. And so, you know, there was probably 4 rows deep of the entire nursing home. And they're all just sitting there.
How many are awake?
Most of them are just, their eyes are open. But nothing is happening. So, like, at the end of the song, you hear, like, one person, like,
right.
And I'd always try to get to the front, like to see, because you can see coming down the hallway the other direction of what the performers are actually looking at when they're performing. And like, no one moves. People are blowing their nose. People are nodding off.
They're singing Christmas carols.
I know, we did it when I was in choir as a kid.
You,
we did it.
It is great. And I know I'll be there pooping my pants one day in that chair thinking to myself, I remember this. This is great. It's so like terrible. No one moves. No one knows the song's over. They're nudging each other.
And the kids are looking at this.
Oh, my God. It's so tremendous. That was one of my favorite things. Really was. Because they were walking off like, does anyone know what I just sang?
I kind of think it's something I've seen live in person that was so bad it was worth it.
Rock of Ages was so horrible. It was actually funny.
Was it supposed to be funny?
No, it was not supposed to be funny. It was just so bad it was funny. Like, you like this when it's got some metal music in it. Like, okay.
You don't get it. I don't like it. Yeah. I don't want to be there.
You like onions on your burger. Whatever it is. So the other reason we asked, what was the lamest thing you've been to? Haddon Township in New Jersey. They have been planning a big event for Groundhog Day this year. They've been throwing a festival. They're going all out. They've got a bunch of bands. They've got fire pits. They've got a beer garden. They've got barbecue and a whole lot more.
And this poor groundhog is like, dude, we go through this every year. Seriously. I don't know.
But what are they trying to take on, Punxsutawney?
Well, no, they're
having... Oh, wait, this is a different town?
Yeah,
this is
a whole different town.
This is Jersey. This is in
PA. Sorry, man.
Haddon Township in New Jersey. They're having their Groundhog Day and their entire festival. Bands, fire pits,
beer garden. Their groundhog has armpit hair and a shark tooth neck.
Barbecue. Oh, the whole deal. It's an all-day thing.
It's still winter.
Live bands all day. One problem, they haven't been able to get their hands on an actual groundhog. So they're moving on to Plan B. They're going to do it with a stuffed animal like the one they used in Caddyshack. And the crowd will get to vote on whether the groundhog sees the shadow or not. A spokesperson for the town said it's really hard to get a groundhog.
Is it just a beaver or something? Aren't they all kind of the same? An otter?
You can't just pull out a beaver and try to tell people it's a groundhog.
You'd be surprised. It's really hard to get a groundhog.
I want to go to Ted's Groundhog Day. Like, dude, I'm pretty sure that's a beaver. Ted's holding a damn beaver.
You think you on sight alone, I hold up a beaver 100 feet from you. You're going to go, hey, that's a beaver.
They're going to hold
100 feet away. I want to Google the images of a beaver and a groundhog.
They're going to hold up the stuffed animal. You know what I mean? If it sees its shadow or not, it's still going to determine whether, another 6 months.
But Ted's got to hold his beaver up, man. You have to hold it up like they
do. That's what they do.
Right, so you have it up at, like, head level and from 100 feet away.
You think of Pet Solutions, we don't have a tranquilizer for the beaver?
I'm just saying, I think
beaver will be chill.
It's a beaver.
You are listening to the Midterm Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, your guess as good as mine. The categories will be farmland and noises your body makes.
Noises your body makes. Different things.
That's a category coming up with your guess as good as mine. It's outstanding.
I mean, I can think of like three things that your body makes noise.
No. There's a whole lot more than that. Yeah, oh yeah. Hopefully that'll be the category pick today. Head writer Jolly Joe fired that one off to this morning. So I'm like, let's go with that one. That's funny as hell.
By the way, Ted and I were debating the merits of the groundhog versus the beaver. As far as, Miles, you said there is a town in New Jersey. They are trying to steal the thunder from Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, who is internationally known that once a year, every year on Groundhog's Day, they hold a Punxsutawney Phil. And some goofy guy in a tie, looks like the Monopoly guy.
With tails on his coat.
I don't remember which way it goes. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so some town in New Jersey, they're trying to steal the thunder, but they can't find a groundhog. The mayor said, I believe.
Can't find a groundhog.
You wouldn't believe how hard it is to find a groundhog. he's right. I wouldn't believe him. But then he said, look, why don't you just hold up a beaver? And I argued that people from 100 feet away, so I'm standing in the audience, you hold a beaver up, play it off as a groundhog. I'm saying, man, you're going to be able to tell the difference. And then you pulled up pictures. If you cover the beaver's teeth,
that's it, and
you
can't
tell. He's right. He's right, man.
Yeah.
Well, what does a groundhog's tail look like? Well, top of your head.
It looks like a big paddle.
Groundhog?
The groundhog?
Oh, the ground. I thought you meant the beaver.
Right. We know a beaver's. Right. You don't know a groundhog's tail.
Groundhog tail, probably not that distinct. Because I don't
exactly.
Think they, I don't think
so
they have
it doesn't
much
matter.
One.
Cover his teeth, you're in. Ted, beaver away.
I'm going to hold him real tight, and I go, you better not smile, you stupid beaver.
Do not smile. Do not show your teeth. Hello, RJ. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
RJ, welcome to the program. The random question. Okay, here's a good one for you. In your lifetime, who would you say is the strongest person that you know or have known? Who is just ridiculously strong?
You mean like physically?
Yeah.
That's 100% me.
You are the strongest person that you know.
Yes.
Okay.
I hang out with armless people.
How do you measure this?
My job, my history, everything.
Okay.
I work construction, and we have to lift 300 pounds of steel onto the drill all day long.
But so, when you say your history, what does that entail? Is there a story involved?
Just when I used to lift in competition.
Oh damn.
You are a competitive lifter. When you're a competitive lifter, do you get to pick what you want to do, like if you're going to go for the bench press, or is it like you have to compete in like five different events, dead, clean and jerk, or whatever? Is it one thing specifically, or is it all that?
We did deadlift, squat, and bench. And I was doing 415 on bench, about just under 700 on squat, and then randomly my deadlift was only just over 500.
Oh, is that all?
It's a lot higher for guys.
All right. Well, so that was your
what,
weakest.
What is the what's the average for guys on a deadlift?
For someone that can squat that high, probably about the same as their squat, if not more.
Okay. Damn. And in one rep on 415, correct? On the bench.
Yes.
Okay. Because when I was in college, they had in the weight room, they had a 400 club. And the 400 club was anybody who could get 400 up one time. Same thing in high school, just all scaled way down, depending on, you know, whatever. But the 400 club didn't have a lot of people in it. That's a fact, man.
For sure.
Maybe one or two per class.
In high school, there was the 300 club, right? Mm-hmm. And there's maybe two or three guys in there.
Yep. Do you guys know anybody who was just ridiculously strong? I mean, it doesn't have to mean they're big, just for their size.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, I went to high school with a guy that was like that. He never really lifted. He just had freakish strength. Played at Penn State and then played in the CFL and then played in the NFL for like a dozen years.
So he never really worked out, but just was that.
I mean, I think once he got to college and stuff,
sure,
he realized
sure.
He had to. But in high school, what's his name? Cameron Wake. He was just that strong naturally. Like, you would never see him in there much, and then he'd show up on test days and be in the 300 club or the 400. Like,
I remember the first
he was
guy,
that guy.
First guy in my high school to hit the 300 club, and it's kind of the same thing. They had him on the football team, but they had him on the football team for the same reason that if you're 7'2", you're on the basketball team. It's not that you had a particular skill, but brother was a big, big guy. Real nice, but he hit the 300 club, and he didn't recognize from the rest of the players why it was such a big deal, because like you said, he's just one of those dudes who's blessed with weird, weird, like, animal strength.
Yeah.
Big, big guy. Anyway, real nice guy. Lost touch with him, saw him maybe 10 years after he graduated high school. He was homeless.
Oh, no kidding.
Dude, okay. I mean, and you felt bad because you're like, he was the dumbest guy, but the nicest guy you'll meet, and he was still just this giant.
What profession do you guys think has the most guys that are just jacked up and could do some damage?
Other than a sport?
Other than construction?
Yeah, exactly. An actual job.
I would say construction and firemen.
I would say, you know what, firemen was definitely going to be in there because it seems like that when they're not out on call, they're just sitting in the station lifting weights.
Or drinking beer.
And drinking beer.
Or both.
Movers. As far as pound for pound, the people that I've seen, not that they can bench press 400 pounds, or not that, but just based on what I have seen movers do, I mean, I'd have to think, if someone says they're a mover, don't get into a fight with them.
My father always,
you know what I mean?
We had this heavy-ass dining room table, had it for years, and it was always a two- or three-person job. And I remember this particular move, but the big dude, they're moving the stuff out, and my father's explaining, hey, grab this stuff from here, blah, blah, blah. When you get to the dining room table, if you need help, man, let me know. I'll get my son, being me, and we'll help you get the thing out. Guy said, okay. And I remember this. He grabbed it in the middle, flipped the thing over his head, walked out. And my father's exact response, Jesus Christ! It was unbelievable, man. It was like, wow.
Reason we asked, who is the strongest person you know? Earlier this month, a guy named, all we know is Sam.
Okay.
Who has been described as, quote, buff and, quote, really jacked, was at Disneyland in California. And he managed to pull the sword out of the stone in front of the King Arthur Carousel. By rule, that does not make him king, by the way. Disney used to let people pull Excalibur out of the stone, but in 2006, they permanently sealed the stone so it wouldn't move, and the sword inside of it.
Or so they thought.
Since then, you can only imagine how many people have tried to yank that bad boy out, but this guy, Sam, actually did it. Sam's friend, who wrote about what happened on social media, says the Disneyland staff said he was able to do it because it's, quote, really old. They replaced the sword a few years ago.
He's the king of wherever he's from.
And they'll fix it for good while they refurbish the carousel, which was already scheduled to happen this month anyway, but he yanked that damn thing out of there.
Why not give him, like, I don't know, like an annual pass or something? Right, I mean, like, look, the guy pulled the freaking thing out of there. I think we can all figure out why. But based on the story, King Arthur, what was the name of the joint that he was, whatever it was.
King Arthur and, is it Knights of the Round Table?
Yeah, but what was the name of the place they live? Sherwood Forest
Excalibur?
Is Robin Hood. That's the sword. King Arthur. He had Sir Lancelot, and the name of the place is?
The Kingdom.
I don't know. But either way, like, look, so if you pull the thing out of the stone, I feel like Disney at least turned it into positive publicity, right? Like, hey, he must be the chosen one. Here's an annual pass, right? It's one week in the year. See, this is bugging me. Robin, do you know where King Arthur lived? There was Lancelot, there's King Arthur, there's Merlin, there's Excalibur, and the name of his kingdom was?
Beaverton.
The Kingdom of Beaverton.
Yes, Beaverton. That is exactly it.
Jesus.
Beaverton.
I'm just sticking with this beaver thing.
Hello, Jerry. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
No, hold on. I'm going to look this up. I can't see.
Hola. Welcome to the Random Question. How are you, sir?
Hey, doing good. Hey, Miles. How's your boogaloo hanging?
What's that now? I'm sorry.
How's your boogaloo hanging?
Good, man. Not bad at all. It's not as cold as it was the last couple days, so things are on the up and up, you know what I mean?
I hear you there.
Okay.
Where'd they live?
I know. Robin just showed me. Come on.
What's that?
Camelot.
Camelot. Of course.
Yes.
Okay,
Camelot.
Fine.
Not Beaverton.
Okay. Also, a great strip club in D.C.
Camelot?
Yeah.
When I hear camel, it's not a place I want to go to see strippers.
No, that's solid.
That's a good point. All right, here we go on your random question.
I brought my own sword.
What would you say is your favorite day of the year? The one that you look forward to the most for whatever reason it is. What is your favorite day of the year? Super Bowl's coming up. A lot of people say that's their favorite day to be able to hang out and eat appetizers before watching the big game.
I think it depends where you live.
Some people like the 4th of July. Others, Thanksgiving or their birthday or whatever. What would you say is the day you look forward to more than any other?
I think it's the 4th of July because I love fireworks.
And are you the guy who brings them and blows them up?
No. Not quite.
But do you go and watch a big display or do you go to your buddies and go to the backyard and let the kids
run around? I go ahead and buy my own and set them off all over the place.
And do you do it just on the 4th of July, or are you the guy that blows them up?
What is the first day? Because my experience in the different neighborhoods is roughly July 1st, you get these smaller explosions. July 4th, right, it's all in. And then it goes until about July 6th.
Mm-hmm.
I usually go from July 1st to about July 8th.
Okay, yeah. It's not just July 4th anymore.
No,
that's not bad.
But that's when I set the most of them off.
And do you have people over at your house? Do you throw down? Do you have a barbecue or anything, or do you just do this on your own?
Well, I used to do it at the house with about 20 people. But now I am all on my own and retired.
Okay.
I just do it for myself.
What's the biggest mortar type of thing that you've ever bought and attempted to fire off there?
Well, it was a 10-pound, 300-foot mortar.
And how far did that go up in the air?
300 feet.
And did it blow up like the ones that you see like at, you know, like a big display someplace?
Oh, yeah.
Right through my neighbor's window and everything.
You're lighting off this great display. Nobody even, like, comes over and says hello. It's just you there by yourself?
Just the last couple of years, yeah.
Did you isolate yourself from these people, or did it just kind of happen through retirement?
I bought 2.5 acres out in the boonies.
And so no one comes out then?
No one comes out here.
But isn't that where you want to go on
right.
July 4th?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
Because the fireworks can be better, right? Because you're not right next to people and all that. But I don't know, man. You sounds to me like you have the place I'd want to be on July 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do set up a pretty good display, and then I guess people around kind of watch. But there's also other fireworks going off around me.
Okay.
So
what do you got?
I watch them, and they watch me.
Are you able to do anything fun on this property? Like, I don't know, make your own moonshine or grow weed or anything like that?
Well, I do my own moonshine.
You do? Okay.
Yeah. But right now, I'm just in the process of building a house.
So you're not really into a house yet. You bought the property, but what are you living in?
I've got a fifth wheel and a travel trailer.
Oh, so you're living in the trailer now and building the house on the property.
Exactly.
Okay, that sounds... Well, no wonder no one's coming over. You don't have a house yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's no room.
Yeah, let's come on and party in the RV, man. Yeah. Everybody pile in.
Sleep under the truck.
Like being at the Gorge.
I've done it.
What?
Yeah, I know you have.
Gone to somebody's house and the house wasn't ready, so we just partied on the property and brought tents.
Okay, all right.
That's fair. So bad. That's fair if it's in the summertime. You guys have a favorite day of the year for any reason? Start of college football season? Do you anything?
I mean, honestly, I might take the Friday after Thanksgiving because I always have it off. There's a lot of college football games on, but I'm not committed to, like, Thanksgiving. You're always kind of committed to something.
Sure, sure.
But that Friday after, like, everybody's still in a good mood.
That's not a bad call.
I mean, almost any Saturday in the fall I love. If I have nothing to do, but generally that Friday I have nothing to do. Honestly, my mom's in town, so she's cooking food. You can just drink beers and you can listen to... Wow, it's going to sound a little crazy, but like the CBS college football music is one of my favorite music in the world.
Mm-hmm. And you watch pro ball, you can watch college ball.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
You can watch all that stuff.
Well, mine's kind of malleable. It depends, like my first full day of a vacation where the kids are not there. Right? It doesn't matter mm-hmm. what time. Like I love that day, and more recently, the Tuesday following Labor Day, when those same kids you spent all summer with, they go back to school.
I was going
to
say, you're always, that seems to be the happiest day.
I love that day, man.
You are fired up that day. That's a fact.
Hell yeah.
Matter of fact, as far as just the way you the pop in your step, I think that is definitely by far your favorite day.
You love your kids. You do. But when you can get rid, and like, man, you get the solid, well-routined pattern there out of your face during the daytime, man, mm-hmm. going back to school, and I hate to say it, like, there's nothing like it. And it's crazy. When I was a kid, I hated going to school.
We used to count
I hated
the days.
Going back to school. Man, oh, man. But as a parent, watching my kids go back to school, and I feel bad saying it because it sounds like I hate them or something. But, like, I can't stop smiling now. I can't even stop smiling mm-hmm. talking about it. How good I know I feel on that day. It's a Tuesday. Tuesdays are meaningless, right?
Yeah.
This is the day after Monday, the day before hump day. It serves no freaking purpose. It doesn't matter. But that Tuesday, friends, I'm like, if you need to borrow money, ask me on a Tuesday when the kids go back to school. I am a helpful young man.
I'm going to go with Thanksgiving just because I'm one of the people who really like the meal and I like the company.
Now, and I'm with you. I don't mind Thanksgiving. I'm just saying that Friday is kind of fun just because there's more games on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving to me is like you're obligated to spend time with family even if you don't want to. And then when you do, you end up having a good time. And you know what I mean? It's relaxed. It's chill. Even if you're cooking and all that stuff, it's still just one of those days where like you just kick back. Whenever we eat. You know, we'll just watch football, hang out.
Hopefully.
I like the pace of that. The reason we asked, by the way, what is your favorite day of the year? Today is what they call officially Blue Monday. That is considered the most miserable day of the year. You are living it right now.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most miserable day.
I'm depressed as hell.
A study back in 2005 figured it out using a formula that factors in the weather, leftover debt from the holidays and Christmas, and a few other things.
It's not leftover debt. Debt is debt.
It's more of a British thing, but that doesn't mean we can't all wallow in it with them. And a new survey looked at the top reasons we feel depressed this time of the year. Top 10 include feeling broke after overspending around the holidays. Now those bills are starting to come through.
But you know what's going to happen. Think how much more money you would have spent if it wasn't for Santa Claus. He saved me a bundle on your Xbox and your freaking iWatch.
The weather is another thing, followed by the nights are too long and lack of sunshine, which all play a part in it. I called my mom the other day, and we're talking on the phone. She said, Miles, I realized something I didn't know. And I said, what's that, Mom? She said, it's dark there now at 4:30. I'm like, no, Mom, It's dark at 3:30. It's just the fact that
the sun has gone down at 4:30.
By the time it finally peters out, you know what I mean? It's about 4:30 or so. And she's like, I didn't realize that. I said, well, we're pretty far north in the northern hemisphere. Therefore, as far as the sun goes, you know, but we do get a lot longer sun in the summertime, obviously, based on the same principle. But right now, as it is dark, it's gloomy, it's gray. She's like, well, it's light here until 5:45. I don't know how you live like that. And I said, Mom, I've been living here for 15 years. Trust me, it's hell on earth. But she had no idea. She had no idea that it was dark like
this. Well, and this time of year is just tougher, right? Like, I always say this. In December, you know what I mean? When you have the shortest days, it sucks. But you have the holidays around the corner.
You are distracted by
more things. You're in America. More than likely, you're still fired up about some type of football or college football. Like, there's stuff to look forward to.
Now you're just broke and football's coming to an end.
The magic. They say another reason you're depressed and miserable this day particularly, the magic of Christmas is over. Did you guys experience the magic of Christmas?
I did. They just took down the last decorations in my building. It was kind of sad.
Really?
Really?
Did you take down the tree you had on your wall?
Yeah, I've gotten kind of bad my old age. I take it down like the first.
Oh, wow. But you do have the tree, right? You didn't get the tree this year, right?
No. I put up the tinsel tree.
The tree on the wall.
Yeah.
Is that the one that people ask if you're okay?
What do you mean?
Like the Stranger Things thing?
Oh, no, those were the lights.
Oh, those are the lights. The lights. The tree.
You said your buddy came over and said, this reminds me of Stranger Things.
Okay.
Is that a reference? Are you okay?
Well, Stranger Things is not a good situation where the Christmas lights are in the living
room. To bring up Stranger Things, they're saying that you're going to die.
Like, yeah, the things are going to come through the closet and stuff.
Something's going to basically eat your soul in a different
place. That's why I think he was freaked out by the string lights on the
wall. Merry Christmas.
But I left up one strand in my place that I leave up all year.
He's going to die.
Okay. It says another reason we're with this is the most depressing day. We're already sick of work again, especially after the holidays. Some of us feel guilty for eating or drinking too much during the holidays. Like, wah. Then there's general loneliness. The pressure of New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Well, don't make them.
I think we should add to that list doing exercises you don't do generally and can't move on Sundays.
I was going to say, you haven't been able to walk for a couple days, right?
It was brutal.
What was that all about?
I got excited, had my first big lift of the year with my trainer, and we switched up some things. Like, we're doing lunges. Let's add some weight. Let's add a 25-pound plate. I said, sure. I got this. No problem.
How many did you do?
I don't know. I was just going up and back a few times. But yeah, and then Saturday I was really sore, could barely bend over. And then yesterday I was just like...
It's always 2 days after.
I know this. But I had forgotten it had been a couple years since I've been in that much pain.
Yeah, and they don't know it either. Like, people who work legs, they don't realize that, like, you know, like, it's a secret. It's like when you go to the dentist and they ask you if you floss and you say yes.
And they know you're lying.
They just think that you lift legs, but typically most people don't. I mean, and that's why they say, do you skip leg day, bro? But it's true. You know what I mean? No one, it's not like, my legs are fine, they're good, you know? But then you work them out, you're like, oh, God, I'm dying. Yeah,
like,
right
I
now.
Was telling somebody, like, just having to take a number two was a problem.
That's the worst.
Like, when you're that old dude, I mean, again, just me in my apartment, like,
it is. And I don't care who you are.
That's what it sounded like, me getting up and off the toilet.
When something interferes with your ability to do that. Really, to me, like, that is where you got to draw the line. Like, I can't, like, I need to poop, man.
That's probably
I have to do, my body's telling me I must, but it won't just let me do it.
And if I'm, like, about to have a bath, something has gone wrong, right? Like, so last night was Epsom salt.
Wow. But you took a bath in Epsom salt?
Yes.
You really had Epsom salt?
No.
I haven't had those since my hemorrhoid surgery.
I had to limp to the Rite Aid to buy them.
Is that all you bought?
Well, a Gatorade.
You brought Epsom salt and a Gatorade.
Right. And walking around like this.
Did you get a discount on that?
No.
You look so much younger than you obviously are.
But
sir.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, if I have a bath, I just don't take a lot of baths. Like, something's gone wrong. It's either an ice bath or an Epsom salt bath. Like, there's some reason I'm in this bath.
And how did you feel afterward?
Pretty much just a sore.
Yeah, exactly. It's just...
and dirty.
Yeah, you got to shower after an Epsom salt bath.
Right, because I'm covered in salt.
You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to The Men's Room.
I had a question. 844-999-OLA. Trial that line, see if it works. See if those things are back up and running or not.
Oh, hang on. I don't know.
Somebody call right now, 844-999. Yeah. Oh, we just lost all the calls. We want to make sure that the lines are now open. Do we have any?
Hello? Nope. See? Nope.
No? Okay. Nope. All right. Nope. Okay. In the meantime, some comments, I guess.
Yeah, we made the mistake, I would say, of asking, where was it that King Arthur lived, right? You had the story guy, Disney, pulled Excalibur, the full Excalibur right out of the stone. You're not supposed to be able to do it. He did it.
You're like, just King, like Arthur, King Arthur, Sir Lancelot, right. You named like 9 million things.
Merlin. Where did we just couldn't remember the name of where they live. So I'm just going to read some comments that came in, some of them. We begin. Matt from Rochester says, thrill, it was Camelot. 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 It's Camelot, you fools. Camelot. Camelot, Camelot, Camelot is where King Arthur lived. Are you live right now? Because it's Camelot. Camelot, King Arthur lived in Camelot. Camelot was a mythical castle said to be located in Great Britain, where King Arthur held court. It's the center of the kingdom of Logres. In the Arthurian legend would become the location of the round table that held 150 knights. That was another comment. Followed by Camelot. Tell Thrill it's Camelot. Camelot, 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 Camelot! Camelot, Camelot. Is it Camelot? Camelot is the kingdom. Followed by Camelot, 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 Albion. Camelot, Camelot, right? They're switching. King Arthur and Camelot, Camelot. The kingdom is Camelot. It's called Camelot. It goes on and on. There's still more. And then I like this person says, they lived in England.
Oh, thank you.
England. And there you go.
All right. Okay. Let's try this again on a random question. See if the phones are working. 844-999-OLA.
Random.
So remember, random, kids, King Arthur lived at Hogwarts. Random, mm-hmm. Random, hello, Eric. Random, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
All right, Eric, the category we're working with on this round of calls is entertainment on a random question. Let's start with this one for you.
Do you know where King Arthur lived?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Camelot?
Oh. You win nothing. All right, let's see here. What would you say growing up was your favorite children's TV show? I go somewhere between.
Man.
I love Speed Racer, but I'm old, and I also
like
the original. I like the original Batman too.
Batman with the Speed Racer was terrible.
I love Speed Racer.
It was terrible.
Okay.
It's about a man who races a car with his brother and a monkey in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
What was your favorite children's TV show?
I grew up watching The Simpsons religiously. And I think that I might be slowly turning into Homer Simpson.
That's not a bad option, man.
Well, turning into Homer Simpson is. What about you? Is it your mental capacity, your gut, your hair, all of the above?
Oh, I got the hair, but, I got the facial hair going on, the overweightness, the drinking.
Now, let me ask you, since you were raised
keep
on this show.
Checking the boxes.
And it was, it was pretty much what you grew up on. Knowing that they're still on the air and they're still making episodes that are pretty relevant and funny, do you continue to watch the show?
No, I...
Hello?
20 years of The Simpsons, the writing kind of took a dive. But I really like the old writers and the comedians that were writing the earlier episodes.
Sure. All right. Okay, that's fair.
No, there was a different cast. I mean, Conan was involved. I mean, Phil Hartman, you think of all the... Apu is now not a character anymore, obviously.
Right. I read that today.
Social reasons.
Wait, what? Yeah. How old were you when you started watching The Simpsons? What year?
Well, I'm Ted's age, so they came out when I was like, single digits, 10 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just funny because when the show came out, I was 19 then or whatever the hell it is, but... Like, people were freaking out, and parents didn't want their kids to watch this show because it was so subversive.
Because Bart didn't listen to his parents.
Right. I mean, like, it was a big freaking deal.
Stupid. And it seems I go back stupid. And watch the old ones. There's some material in there.
Yeah, there is. As a matter of fact, Simpsons used to come on at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights for a reason.
Right.
Because it had to be late enough where they could get away with some more stuff. So I mean,
Bugs Bunny has some horrible stuff in it, man. But, like, kids don't get a lot of the jokes.
Well, right. I mean,
there's a joke about an erection in Shrek. Not a single kid notices it. Every adult does.
What was the joke?
It's one of those deals. They walk into the king's chamber. He's laying under the covers. And as soon as he sees the chick, I'll leave it there. I don't want to ruin it for you, kids. But he has an erection in Shrek.
Really?
Yep.
Hola. The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.